It's the My Michelle Live podcast.
My Michelle Live.
Thank you for joining us today, and welcome. Now, this is part of our News and Views Thursday broadcast, and today we're going to be looking into important issues that are, in one way or another, going to be affecting us all. Really think about this. From cruise ships to colleges, you may need a new form of identification. A passport, right? Where's my passport? I actually have my passport right here. I am not going to show you the picture because it, okay, I'll show you the picture. It's awful. Oh, look, you can't really see it. Good. It's an awful picture, but I have to use this when I go, you know, anywhere outside of the United States, right? Well, what about having to go to anywhere from, they're saying, your dentist to a ball game to enrolling in college? You're going to need a vaccine passport. Is that really legal? Can we do that? What is that going to look like? There are a lot of questions, and I bet you've asked them in your head. Whether you think it's a good idea or not, you've probably asked those questions, and there's a lot of them. And we're going to discuss some of those with our guest, Patrick Wood. He's the founder and director of Citizens for Free Speech. It's a national nonprofit organization. They protect and defend the First Amendment here in the United States. Is there a First Amendment violation here of the passport? Is there issues that we should be concerned with as citizens? Well, we're going to take it on with Patrick Wood himself. Thank you, Patrick, for joining us.
I really look forward to this opportunity, Michelle. Thank you. Bye bye.
Are you ready to take this one on? Come on. Wow. I mean, think about it. Prior to just over a year ago, if you would have walked into a bank with a mask on, you would have been taken down by security. Now, if you walk into a bank or to, as I said, a ball game or somewhere, and you don't have a mask on, you're going to be talked to by security. Our world has turned topsy-turvy in a matter of months, and here we are a good year later. Now we're talking about vaccine passports.
Who would have thunk it? This is happening everywhere in the world. Michelle, it's not just an American problem. Although in America, we have a constitution that's unique in the world. And you would think we would have more in America that's, you know, skewed towards freedom and liberty and stuff like that. The rest of the world has its own problems. But this is a global program to bring in these vaccine passports. Europe is doing it, Asia is doing it, China is doing it, India is doing it. Africa, some African countries are doing it, and now the United States is doing it. And I'll tell you what, it's gonna split the world into the haves and the have-nots. And how many times have we seen this in history? It always ends in disaster for society. Is it a free speech issue? It can be related. Is it just a human violation? Yes. Because the haves and the have-nots are what we're trying to get rid of. And at least in America, the differences between race, for instance, you're black, you're white, you're brown. I mean, come on. It's like, don't divide us, for crying out loud. We're all human beings. Just leave us alone. We get along fine.
It is odd that it is yet another way to divide us. And I see it as discriminatory because the vaccine, first of all, doesn't ask the question, should you be taking it? And you, that should be a decision between you and your doctor. I mean, how long have we been preached to my body, my choice?
Yes, that's right. That's right. You know, there's so many people right now that, and I personally, I believe the whole vaccine mandate thing is going to fall apart because drug companies are getting shut down all over the world. Denmark just threw out AstraZeneca. Mm-hmm. Totally. They're gone.
Is it Johnson and Johnson that has now been...
Johnson & Johnson been shut down here. And I think that Moderna is going to be right behind him, honestly. But you have 40% of Marine Corps right now in the military refusing to take the, or opting out of taking the vaccine. People across the world are getting wise to this really fast. People are getting sick when they take this. And the problem with that is a free speech issue, by the way, because informed consent was not offered to these people who took the vaccines or took the gene therapy shots. They didn't give them all the information that they really needed to have in order to have informed consent. That's international law. It's also state law in every state in America. It's federal law as well. And it's embedded in every country in the world, thanks to the Nuremberg Code that came after World War II with the horrible medical experiments that took place in Germany. The whole world knows you do not give experimental drugs to someone without their 100% complete informed consent. If you choose not to inform them or to lie them or to mislead them or to deceive them, then that's not informed consent. And that is a total violation of free speech, because censorship is what is denying people from getting the rest of the story from other experts in the community. And so now, on top of a very faulty, chaotic vaccine situation with the pandemic and just the pandemic itself, now the other layer of these vaccine passports is being laid on top of that. The result is going to be your papers, please. You can't go to that sporting event. You can't go in that store. You can't get on that airplane. You can't cross across state borders. You can't go to that country.
Where you may not be able to go to work.
And that's right. You may not even be able to go back into your own office where you work if you are not vaccinated. Now, this is forcing people to get vaccinated. This is, they say, well, there's no mandate. Everybody's got to get it. Yeah, but when your boss tells you, get the vaccine or you're fired, you know, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. That's extortion. It really is. I mean, it reminds you of the mob in New York City in the 20s, where they come in and say to a store owner, oh, it'd be a shame if your store burned down. We could protect you, make sure that doesn't happen for $500 a week. Yeah. And if the store owner says, get lost, oh, bummer, his store burns down next week. Everybody knows the game. So when the mob comes to say, you will do what we say, you do what they say, or else you're going to be out of business. This is exactly the same kind of extortion technique that's being used with these vaccine passports, is to force people to get vaccines.
Yeah. Look, I want to say for the record that I'm not against vaccines. I think vaccines are a very good idea. What I am against is what we've seen over the years with vaccines of hidden information, not being allowed to talk about some of the problems. There's adjuvants that are put into vaccines to help them become more effective. We see allergies, reactions, autoimmune issues that come from that. And you know, that's going to happen as we develop things. What we should be able to do is talk about them, Patrick, so that we can have vaccines get better and better and better. Part two of what I want to talk to you about is the need for vaccine. If I've already had the coronavirus, I have a natural immunity. You get the vaccine in order to, if you have not been exposed, so that you develop immunity. If you have been exposed, you already have that immunity, and it's actually proven to be better and more effective, our natural immune system. So why can't I have that marked off of my card and be able to enter into those sporting events, colleges, or my workplace?
You're exactly right. This is a point that hardly anybody has brought up yet, but you're right. I've had COVID. I have antibodies. I've been tested, and I'm just so happy to say that I have antibodies built up that are natural, and my immune system is not compromised. The problem with, well, I hate to hesitate to call it vaccine, because it's not traditional vaccines that are being offered today. It's gene therapy shots. And that's different than the traditional concept of a vaccine, even by the CDC's own definition. The problem with the gene therapy shots is that it meddles with your immune system. And anything that meddles with your immune system, you should be very concerned about. Be very careful what you do to it, right? I mean, that should be your choice. It is your choice. If somebody wants to do that, they can do it. But for those who are sensitive to their immune system and take some pride in taking care of it and supporting it and enhancing it or whatever, any way you can, you want to be very careful to bring anything in that meddles with the behavior of your immune system. And what's happening with this vaccine right now, with these gene therapy vaccines, is that people who take the vaccine, not only do they have less resistance to future vaccines than a naturally antibody person that gets the disease, they appear already to be more susceptible to catching other variants as time goes on. Mm-hmm. So my immune system is going to protect me better long-term against all of these things than all of the gene therapy shots that you could possibly give me. That's the way I look at it. So, you know, the problem here again is the discussion on vaccines, the discussion on vaccine passports is being massively censored by big tech, especially by the oligarchical big tech and by other organizations, well, like Amazon dropping books from its publishing roster.
And I've been canceled. I am in the, I had posted a news story about some of the concerns that people have had with some of the real cases of a very few deaths, but definitely people getting sick, palsies. A lot of folks feel like they have a heavy blanket on them and even their clothes hurt. You have a big wide variety of side effects that if you're going to get the vaccine, more power to you. That's your choice. And I support you in your choice. But it goes back to what you said, informed consent. We are not getting it. So I posted that. Facebook, one of those that you mentioned, took me down. I've been canceled. It's like a badge of honor now.
Well, yeah. Let's hope it doesn't last, but it very well could. The thing is, anything that goes against the narrative of big pharma and big tech, which are like this together right now, they're just absolutely hand in glove with each other. Anything that goes against the narrative, they shut it down. And it doesn't matter who you are. You could be liberal or you could be conservative. It doesn't matter.
That's true.
In fact, look at Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is not what you'd really consider a conservative at all. He's very much, protective of children taking vaccines and writing about autism, stuff like that. These are discussions that need to be had. Mm-hmm. He's been canceled everywhere he goes. He's completely canceled.
Yeah.
And he's still there. He's still fighting because of his name is so big, he can't escape it. But it doesn't matter if you're liberal or conservative. It's issue-oriented at this point. You buck the narrative, you're going to get trashed. You're going to get canceled. And this has been happening just all across the board. It's incredible. This completely dismantles the concept of informed consent. And this is wrong. It's a violation of the First Amendment. It should be prosecuted as such. But if it was a third party doing the cancellation, you could kind of argue your way out of that discussion. But in this case, the companies that have the power to cancel you are the ones that are protecting their own propaganda. Okay, now we've got to go back to the mob in the 20s again. When the guy telling you your store might burn down has a match in his hand and he has the power to burn your house down or your store down, and he's telling you if you don't pay him $500 that, gee, this could accidentally go off, then you have a real crime that's taken place, right? This is called extortion.
Okay.
When the companies like a Twitter or a Facebook have the power to take you out while at the same time they're promoting a narrative that is contrary to yours, then you see they control both sides of the thing. They're freezing you out, and if you buck it, they can cancel you with a push of a button. This is what's really, really wrong with this whole scenario right now.
Yeah, and we're seeing it on many levels and many forms, and it is absolutely a danger to free speech. Unfortunately, what has happened traditionally through history, regardless of, it's a human nature issue. not a Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, Christian, non-Christian. It's a human condition issue where if my narrative is being propulsioned through the ether, I'm happy. If what I believe in is being championed, I'm good. And if you're being shut down, you're being canceled, you're being turned off, that's a good thing because I believe in this and this is for the greater good. But we have seen through history where that mindset is dangerous. When you turn back and ignore and shut out even the ugly, bad, wrong, and even evil voices, they don't get to see the sunlight or the light of day. You don't get the chance to shut them down with logic, with reason, with fact, with history. They just lurk in the background. So it really doesn't work well for anyone. Okay, Mr. Founder and Director of Citizens for Free Speech, let's talk about that.
You know, I know enough about you already, Michelle. We've been together before, I think, a couple of times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know ain't nobody going to shut you up. I commend you for that. I applaud you for that. I love you for that. Would that everybody would have the same mindset. But here's the big problem. The problems we're talking about are institutional problems. You know, I mean, they are where, like you said, you've been canceled on Facebook. Yeah, they threw your post out. I've had a bunch of posts thrown out too. And we buck it anyway. That doesn't make us be quiet. But across America, a worse thing has even happened where people are now self-censoring because they're afraid they're going to be attacked.
Yeah,
they're afraid that they're going to get canceled. They're afraid that they're going to be browbeat. Like if you go into a grocery store without a mask on, you know, the Karens of the world are going to come up and jump on you. People are frightened by that. So they toe the line. They begin to behave differently. They begin to, you know, they call it social engineering or whatever. They begin to self-censor and withdraw from the communication that needs to be had in America. Mm, we have a whole layer of society right now that's basically still cowering in their homes.
Yeah.
Afraid to come out, afraid to say the wrong thing to somebody that they might get jumped, and they won't speak up. They won't speak their mind, and we need them to speak their mind. You're probably in the same boat. I have never been afraid to listen to somebody else's ideas, no matter how crazy they are, or how crackpot they are. There have been plenty of crackpots in the world. I don't have a problem with that. This is America. In America, we're supposed to have a free marketplace of ideas. That means anybody can stand up and say basically anything that's on their mind, and other people are free to stand up and rebut them and to debate and to argue and whatever, but not to punish them and not to beat them up and throw them out in the street or anything. That's not the American way. The free marketplace of ideas means you can say what you want, but be prepared to have it discussed in public if you say it in public. This mentality in America right now is what's gone. It's gone.
It's dangerous. It's scary. And here's why. We are a country who has traditionally celebrated restitution, repentance. You don't get that if you don't have conversation. I don't care how ugly your mindset is. If I'm not willing to listen to some crackpot KKK racist and hear what is it that's your beef? What is it that drives you? They're not going to listen to me. And there's not a hope for maybe a change of mindset. I tell you, some of the people that I've interviewed, Patrick, that have been former KKK members that have said, you know, I saw the light. Why? Because someone who was Black came to my rescue at one time, befriended me, loved me. And, you know, I get emotional even right now thinking about that kind of love, that kind of care, that kind of being willing to listen is the very thing that changes hearts, changes minds. And I'm going to get Sunday school on you for a minute. I mean, that to me is the God story.
It really is. You don't have to worry about going Sunday school on me. But no, you're absolutely right. In America, this has been the American way for a long time. I wouldn't call it strictly a religious issue, although the First Amendment protects the freedom of religion. But I would call it certainly an issue of morality. We've had a culture in America where Americans respect each other, where there's a certain amount of tolerance built in to our country, where we respect each other, even if we disagree. My mother growing up was a Republican. Her best friend was a Democrat. They did everything together. They got married together. They had children together. They went everywhere together. And they had very strong differences of opinion politically, but they were best friends. You can't do that anymore. Now the world is so divided, you just can't, it doesn't happen. Families are ripped apart. Brothers and sisters aren't talking to each other. Children aren't talking to their parents and vice versa. Best friends are not besties anymore. All because of this division that's happened in America. And it's been coming for a long time. It's not just this year.
No.
But we saw very sharp divisions occur during the Obama administration, for instance, with especially with the racial division that took place, where there shouldn't have been any racial division, and where the political divisions took place, where there really shouldn't have been any political division. And it's just gotten worse from there.
Yeah.
Now people are at each other's throat for the slightest little thing. Oh, you said that word. You offended me. Pow, right in the kisser. You know, it's like, what? That's not the way we do things in America. And we don't have to.
I feel it's hostile. You've hurt my feelings. I mean, what happened to sticks and stones, right? May break my bones. But one thing that I predicted some of this when we acquiesced to kneeling at the national anthem. Now, I'm all for free speech, and I support people wanting to bring attention where they feel that there is injustice. That's great. I really applaud that. But I felt that the national anthem was that one place. Look, your mom was a Republican. Mine was a left-wing radical extremist. And she raised me with this mindset that, you know, Michelle, you don't have to pledge allegiance to the flag because there isn't liberty and there isn't justice for all. But as I grew up, I realized, Patrick, that no, there's never always going to be liberty and justice for all. But that pledge, that anthem, we go there because that's what we are shooting for. That's what we believe in. That's what we're fighting for. It may never happen. I don't care if it ever completely happens. I will fight to my dying breath for liberty and justice for all, right? So I believe that national anthem was that time where you are rooting for your team and I'm rooting for my awesome team. And we can be bitter rivals. We can disagree on who to root for. We can disagree on politics, religion, what you should put on your hot dog. But when we come to the national anthem, we all stand there and we all stand for something bigger that we believe in. And I think that in that, when we started kneeling and turning our back on, walking out of, that's when I feel that tolerance, it was almost like, okay, it's a nail in the coffin. Mm-hmm. All right, yes, off my soapbox, take over here.
Yeah, no, that's right. And you know, the thing, just to use that as an example, kneeling during the national anthem, of course, a lot of people responded to that by just turning off the TV.
Yes, they did.
And
they did.
The NFL has been hurt tremendously.
What's the phrase? Go woke, go broke. I think
that's
right.
They've had their comeuppance, and I expect they're going to repent one day, and they're going to stop and say, hey, guys, let's play football, okay? Let's just play football. That's what we're here for. And not be political. And baseball's in the same thing right now. They're under fire. And I've talked to many people said, I'll never watch another baseball game again because of what they're doing. They'll get their comeuppance. But here's what happened, especially with the national anthem thing, in particular, Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. Once the discussion was started, those who supported that movement got to say anything they wanted to say. Those who wanted to speak against it automatically became the focus of the cancel culture, which came in and ripped him apart. In some cases, destroying lives of innocent people by canceling them out of society. And, you know, again, this type of censorship that destroys free speech is intolerable in America. And just give me, I'll take a soapbox just for a second. Everybody knows somebody that's been divorced. I do. In fact, I have a divorce in my younger life. If you sit down and talk to a friend or somebody you can talk to and say, you know, I thought you guys were doing so good. What happened? You know, what happened in marriage? You know, you're divorced now and I'm just bitter and, you know, I can't believe it. Invariably, what you will hear from them is, well, communication stopped between us.
Ooh.
Communication stopped. She wouldn't talk to him anymore. He froze me out. He was never home. Whatever. Communication stopped. This is a truism of life. This doesn't take, this is not a religious issue. This is a truism of life. When relationships that should be there stop communicating, the fight will soon begin. The arguing, the fighting, the divorce, the ripping relationships apart will ensue guaranteed every single time. And go and ask any marriage counselor to confirm what I just said. And they will say that. If you don't communicate, you're headed for divorce court.
Oof.
And nobody's going to win when you get there.
And nobody's going to win.
Right? Yeah. So in America, see, we're in the same position generally. When communication stops, and that's what the First Amendment's all about, communicating. When communication stops, the fighting breaks out. Do we have fighting broken out today?
Yeah.
Like never before in our history, except maybe for the Civil War. Everybody's fighting everybody else in one way or another. You can't even go into a grocery store anymore or a store in a lot of places in the country. If you don't wear a mask or sometimes you do wear a mask, you're going to get attacked.
On either side, definitely.
On either side, you cannot win.
Yeah. And so here we are at a place where we are canceling. And more disturbingly, I hinted at this at the beginning of our conversation, we're not learning from history. And I'll give you an example of how the cancel culture just walked over someone. There's a man from the Seattle Sounders, Coach Alan Hinton, and he had been a part of the Seattle Sounders soccer team for quite some time. I don't think I've met maybe five people as nice as this man. And he sent out a tweet that he thought was kind of a lovable story, I think was his words, of how when he and I'm just kind of taking it and giving you what it is, not reading the tweet, but basically when he first started in soccer and he met his first black player on the team, and he said, you know, basically, you know, I didn't know what to think, but I figured, hey, good player, they'll make us money, they'll help us get bonuses, all right, that's fine. And we went on from there. Since then, he's coached many people of differing colors or differing races, and he was let go. They backed away from him. That's inappropriate. No, you know what that is? That's how people grew. They got to know someone they thought was, okay, different culture, and then realized you're a player like anyone else. I thought it was a beautiful learning story of where we came from. Now, I say all that to say it's sad, and I still miss Alan Hinton, but also that we are not learning from history. Alan has a history of what life was like in sports before this kind of integration. I want to learn from that, but we're not allowed to. If we don't learn from history, we may be doomed to repeat it.
Yes. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, what we're trying to do with the Citizens for Free Speech is to help citizens get re-involved in their own community, and not just in the community, but also to repair family relationships too, as we find out. We're offering training classes actually to teach people how to communicate again, the art of communication, the art of debate, and how to hold a conversation with somebody that you don't agree with perhaps, but you could still give persuasive argument for your ideas and stuff. as we did this, initially we were kind of focusing on the civic arena, like in your local community, school boards, fire boards, water boards, city council, that sort of thing, where there's a desperate need to get a seat at the table. But people started telling us that, you know, we're using the same training now, the ability to communicate like this to try and repair some of our love relationships that have been lost in the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, where families just being ripped apart and they don't know what to do. They have no skills to put it back together. They can't go to, I mean, you can't go to a counselor because there aren't, I guess there's marriage counselors. I don't know if there's COVID counselors that will help you in this, but they don't know where to turn. They're just devastated. And we're giving people tools to communicate correctly, to bring the First Amendment back alive. And the issue of the First Amendment is all about communication anyway, from the freedom of religion to the redress of grievances in point five. Every single one of those things requires action. If you don't do it, you really can't say you possess it. It requires your personal involvement to realize the benefits of the First Amendment, which the founder said it's God-given rights, not given by man or by government. But if you're not doing it, you're going to lose it. That's just that simple. You must be talking. I commend, I commend your loud mouth, your loud voice, okay, to not big mouth, don't get me wrong. I commend your vocalness to say, I'm going to say what I think, and I'll love you anyway. If you may not agree with me, but I'm going to say it. And hey, I'm a lovable person anyway. And it's true. That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
It should be everywhere. It should be that way. I just don't get it. If America's going to be saved at this point, communication must be restored. Period. End of subject. It must be.
What a great analogy of a marriage, you know, really, and the breakdown. Does America, are they ready to head towards divorce? I don't think so yet. I'm hoping not. And I'm looking at citizensforfreespeech.org, which, of course, you can find as you're watching or listening at mymichellelive.com. You can find a link. And there are a lot of resources there. Maybe someplace we should all visit and revisit the idea of free speech, communication. And if you believe in whatever it is that you believe in that has made you so passionate that you just can't stand any opposition, maybe it's time for us to relearn how to love people more than our movement and make people more important than our ideology. And maybe we can teach people how we feel and infuse our beliefs and the change that we want to see into the world through love instead of through counseling and through free speech. Patrick Wood has been our guest, the founder and director of Citizens for Free Speech. And Patrick, you know what? It is always a joy to have you with me. Let's do this again soon.
Likewise. I do it anytime with you. I absolutely love talking with you. And you know, not just that we agree on everything. That's not the point. But nope. we stimulate meaningful discussion that other people need to view and be a part of and be drawn into. That's really the key thing here. Food. I'm never afraid to talk to somebody, even a radio or TV host that may disagree with me all over. I have done that actually in the past. It doesn't bother me at all. But what other people on the outside looking in need to see as we're talking right now, the things, the principles, whatever we're bringing out, is that the listener needs to be encouraged. That means they need to have courage well up in their own heart. Yes, I can be a part of this. Yes, I can make a difference. You're not just a meaningless little bump on a log.
That's
a person.
Right.
And you're important as a person. You're not as a group. Just you as a person are important. You can make a difference in your local community, and now's the time to do it. If there ever was, now's the time
now's
to do
the
it.
Time. Are you encouraged? Yeah. Aren't you glad you listened? And you'll be glad that you went to citizensforfreespeech.org. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you. For more fun, go to mymichellelive.com.
I just do it.